Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And I'm going to introduce to you Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. And doctor, thank you so much for being on the show. I know you're in Colorado right now. I see you got the jacket on. It's probably a little chilly there right now, but I appreciate you having a good cup of Gojo or whatever you got there.
Yes, and my special cup. Yeah, absolutely. And
I love that mug.
It's actually warmer outside than inside. My wife keeps the thermostat down to like 38.
Oh my gosh, we have to have an intervention. So, but thanks for being on the show today. Shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, also ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite radio sponsor, Arrow Precision USA, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming to over 1 million followers right now. TwoBells.com, they built our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So check that out. Guys, we don't make anything off the store. Those prices are dirt cheap. When I order stuff, and I do a lot, I pay the same thing you guys pay. That's how cheap the prices are. So check out leoroundtable.com. Go to the online store, and we don't make any money on the cool gear because we're trying to just get our stuff out there and get our name out there. Also, fishorlandobass.com. You know, Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando. So when you dudes are going to Orlando, you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids, you now have options. So let them go, because I know what happens. You're in the parking lot. You're letting everybody's getting out. You're thinking, man, I really don't want to be here. You got options. Drop them off. Give them the credit card. Let them have a great time. Go hook up with Zach. Do the bass fishing charter in Orlando at fishorlandobass.com. Or if you're feeling more adventurous, like our Chief Schultz here, because we sent him a nice sharp knife, you can do the alligator hunting, and it's catching and relocating out the Florida alligator. So you can do that with Zach as well. FisherOrlandoBass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFB.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those other things for helping make the show happen. And now, guys, here's what we're going to be talking about today. We got a new body cam. Apache Junction officer Gabriel Fascio ends up, unfortunately, being killed in a shootout with an armed suspect. Huge, huge issues with what went down in this Arizona department and this cop getting killed. You guys be the judge. We're going to cover that. Also, our next one, we've got a Hayward Police. Now, Hayward Police, isn't that where Sergeant George, Hayward, California, he lives in Hayward, right? Hayward Police released footage of a shootout with an armed man in a shoplifting center parking lot. Trying to see if the bad guy's name was Ishak. If George is not on the show today, we may know that maybe that's the reason why. And then we got body cam shows the arrest of an Alabama woman wearing a male appendage costume at a protest. Wait till we get to this story, guys. Autopsy reveals a rapper shot 17 times in the back by an off-duty cop. Where? In Georgia. We're going to talk about that. El Centro police officers fatally shoot a suspect in a stolen car when he's driving towards cops. And then we've got another one, wrongful death lawsuit filed against Fort Wayne Police Department after fatally shooting a woman that had two knives. And if we have time to get to it, Salt Lake City officer fatally shoots a suspect who throws a rock at the officer. Some people, even on the show, have viewed that as pretty controversial. So that's what we have to talk about. I see that we're already getting stacked here on the feed. Arthur Johnson, good morning from Richmond, Virginia. And Betty Dunn, 51 degrees and raining. Betty, it's time to move to Florida where I'm at. If it's cold and wet, you got to come to Florida. MVS, he sent Mango Black Rifle Energy to me, and he says, remember, that's for the wife. So that's why he sent me the berry, apparently. I'm just finding this out now. So let's go ahead and get this party started, guys. So our first story, as I hinted to, we have a body cam showing Apache Junction police officer Gabriel Fascio killed in a shootout with an armed suspect.
Handgun from the glove box and gets out of the car.
Well, drop the gun. What a gunpoint. Drop it. Drop it. Drop it. Drop it. Drop the gun. Drop the gun.
Hurry up. He's got a 417 in his hand. He said I have to shoot him. He's walking away southbound right now on the sidewalk.
Should be.
West side containment.
Put the gun down.
Put it down.
Watch it.
His hands up.
Drop the gun.
Everyone, drop the gun. Mary 11, shots fired.
Still moving. Watch the gun.
Get down. I'm gonna shoot. Get down.
Watch my fire.
I'm getting the weapon. Go ahead.
Roll over. Now, it doesn't really show the officer being shot and killed. It shows the shootout and stuff. Unless Chief, I went through this several times and I wasn't able to find it. And I'm kind of glad because I don't need to see that. I saw the shooting, but they're just so I'm glad. I'm happy with the way they did it. Unless there's maybe something to be learned, I don't have to watch the video of a cop getting shot and killed. But Apache Junctions is in Arizona. So just as I read the story to our audience, keep that in mind. Arizona, border jurisdictions, they're usually spot on. But in this tense body cam video, it shows the moment a man opened fire on a group of Apache Junction police officers, leading to one of them dying. And he didn't die immediately. So the morning of June the 2nd, Officer Gabriel Fascio was shot in the face by 37-year-old bad guy Roger Nunez. Now, the officer spent 6 days in the hospital fighting for his life before he ended up dying from his injuries. And on that morning that we're talking about, the driver called 911, or a driver called 911, to report this bad guy, Nunez, is pointing a gun at him and his son. So the guy's driving his car, and he says that this dude's in a Tesla. He's flashing his gun. He said he's, quote, flashing it while my son's in the damn car. This is ridiculous, unquote. Guy was, like, losing it. Pretty compelling. And he's really mostly upset because he had a son in the car, and this dude's waving around a gun. So body cam footage shows the moment Nunez gets pulled over by one officer. And this is where it kind of gets a little hairy because we have guys in our show. I mean, the chief here is in Colorado, and I think he's been around the country. We've got, our counterparts in California and Washington State, where, everything is like I call it the reasonable standard, but there's a really a lot heavier push for de-escalation. Not only just we've always de-escalated, but not just de-escalation, but using less lethal. And so I'll have you guys be the judge. But this cop goes up to the car a little bit more nonchalantly than I would have liked and says, hey, do you have any firearms in the car? But again, he did not approach the car with a stance as if he was worried about the bad guy grabbing a gun and shooting him. He had a lot of his body in front of the door and the window. He didn't stand the way you would if you were worried about a dude having a gun and maybe shooting you. The guy responds, no, he did not have a weapon. And the cop says, no weapons? And the guy goes, no. And so he said that twice. So suddenly our bad guy reaches in the glove box and he pulls out a gun and he points it at the officer. And now the cop yells, drop it. There are some times you don't need to give commentary before taking place. It's like, you don't always have to tell people to drop a gun. You can go straight to lethal and pull the trigger. There's no rule that says that. So there were some little surprises to me, and I don't want to ruin the chief's commentary. I want to hear what he says, but the officer never fires his gun, says, drop it. Guy's got the gun pointed at him. The guy gets out of the car, and then he turns away from the officer, and he says, hey, you're going to have to shoot me. And then he starts walking away. So now the officer hops on the radio, and he says, hey, he's got a 417, which I guess is a firearm. And he said he's walking away southbound on the sidewalk. A little bit of radio communication going on there. And so now the cavalry arrives. We got backups. And so I'm going to go here to my show notes because I believe that I was looking for long guns. Our guy, he walks away. We got cops in multiple cars that are showing up, continues to walk away down the road, responding backup officers. They shoot pepper balls at the suspect. And the only long gun that we even had present on the scene was a stupid pepper ball gun, a less lethal. Everybody else had pistols. And now this guy is getting at a distance from them. So we have pepper balls being fired at a couple different junctures at 247 and at two different times. And then we have a cell phone video, and it shows our bad guy raising the gun up, and it looked like he fired one shot. And then everybody opened up on him, and he goes down. Well, apparently, I believe it was that one shot hit the officer in the head, who later died 6 days later. Guy gets back up off the ground. There's a lot of cops talking, you know, let me see your hands, drop the gun. And then finally a cop says, I'm gonna shoot you. And he takes a single shot from a distance, the guy goes down, but he's not killed. He survives. And now he's, he's going to end up, going to trial and all that kind of stuff. So that's the way this thing ends. Chief Schultz, I'd love to get your input on this one and see what you think.
Well, this is one of these things. I'm inclined to be an apologist for cops, and I want to give them every latitude and recognition. I wasn't there. I wasn't in your shoes at that particular moment. But I was just disturbed at many, many points. My first point of concern is, why was this not a high risk takedown? Why was this a traffic stop when you've got a man with a gun call, good description match, likely armed, and in this you have a weapon? I think we might say, just as a learning point, again, all due regard to the officers who made the decisions on the scene, what about, I know you have a weapon, and then start from there. I actually would like to have seen the officer on a PA back up on the way, get out of the car, and do that. That would absolutely have been justified. And I'm afraid going back with this, I see our time's clicking away here, but we're going back to the stair step. You got to fail at each level until you reach the point where you can use deadly force. You know, we got rid of that model in most departments a long time ago. And so that was distressing to me.
Well, good words, Chief. I appreciate it. We'll break down a little bit more of this. It's tough because you don't want to be overly critical, but if we can have people look at this and learn from it and save one life, it's all worth it. So it's time for our first commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. You know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And when you throw the online option, it's like limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here. It's supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com, and they're going to do you one better. This is huge, guys. I've got a radio code that they have authorized me to give to you that will give you 15% off your next order. Type in radio15, that's radio15, in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. Amazing opportunity. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls.com. They pretty much have everything but guns and ammo, and I recommend going there right away. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, you know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on approaches that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip and the Chief sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. And, we're talking about a use of force. What was the, Apache Police Department in Arizona? I don't know if you were done yet or not with your breaking it down, Chief. Any more words on that? We had an officer killed on what probably should have been a felony traffic stop, and the officer appeared to me to be a little lackadaisical. I know he lost his life, and which is unfortunate. And I realized that if this officer didn't shoot because he was not in fear of his life or great bodily injury, that he should not have shot because he would not have been justified, right? But my counter is that a reasonable officer would have felt that and would have been justified. And if it would have been me, I certainly assure you that I would have had, if this guy had not dropped the gun, I don't care if he's turning around and facing away from me, he would have been taking a lot of lead. I would have emptied my freaking magazine until he dropped the gun or he was down. So,
you know, that use of force, whether it's deadly or at some other level, is part of the de-escalation process. I mean, that's the ultimate de-escalation. If you're trying to keep right. something from getting worse, you know, if you could talk them through it, that's fine. And I think you alluded to, as we have in many scenarios, this prevailing idea that, and it's even made it into some statutory language, that it has to be an absolute last resort before you use force. And that's not really the standard. And as I was alluding to before the break, we used to, and most departments have gone away from this. We used to have this use of force continuum, which was typically illustrated with a staircase, you know, officer presence, verbal command, and you just, you go one more step above the person who's resisting. And the research would tell us that is, to me, that's, you've got to fail before you move up to the next step. So it's the use of failing techniques continuum is what I think. And I think Von Kleene would tell you that the force science information research would tell you that you need to use the amount of force that's going to solve the problem right then. And it needs to be definitive and overwhelming and effective. And so that, you know, that may be within that warrior mindset that people are worried about, including, you know, our friend Jeff. But I think that gets officers killed. And that less lethal, I love Taser. I love Pepperball. I love the stun gun. I love all those things that help you save lives. But that pepper gun should never have been brought into this situation. It was a firearms call. And the officer was still holding on to that pepper ball rifle after the shots were fired. What was he going to do with that? And, you know, do we train in transition? You know what? It's okay to just drop your Taser on the pavement, or it's okay to drop your 40 millimeter on the pavement if you need to get to a different weapon system. So it's just until that officer finally took that shot, which was a good shot, by the way,
from that's that an distance, incredible shot.
I think it was, there were just a lot of failures.
So take, you know, my takeaways, number one, long guns, that agency chief, get off your butt and politic if you have to, and get your guys freaking long guns, get them freaking rifles. You're going to, you know, if the bad guy would have been neutralized at the beginning when he pointed the gun at the officer and before he got out and was allowed to walk away with it, this never would have happened. Number two, when the guy is at a distance, he could have been taken out with a rifle. And he was close enough to the roadway and stuff where he could have carjacked someone. And now you're at a distance where who's going to be? Look, that was a freak shot with that pistol that normally you're not going to. And it was a single shot. And the guy, he did what we call a controlled shot, right? He didn't just snap it off. He was a good shot. It was an impressive shot. It didn't kill the guy, but it did neutralize him. Also, the way that they approached this bad guy with the vehicles. I mean, look, that's something I would do maybe with a dude with a knife or something. You got a guy with a gun and they're not even using the vehicle for cover. And I'll prove my point because we have a cop shot in the head. And, you know, they had a ballistic shield, and I've got body cams of cops that are approaching the bad guy and conversing with him, standing outside the protection of the metal vehicle. And that's it, not even foolproof. You know, there's ricochets, you can shoot under the car. All these risks for a guy that's allowed to get so far away from you that you cannot effectively, you know, neutralize him. The odds are against you. And it's just, there's so many things done wrong in the situation. I don't know what they're, I suspect extremely small agency, probably limited training. And I would love to, you know, I just would love to see them get better training, because this we should not have a dead cop.
You know, and policing is often a solo job, but it's also a team sport. And I've advocated before, and I don't think it's standard practice, but we used to say, okay, one less lethal if you've got deadly cover. I'm like, I think you need two deadly covers before you have less lethal. I think that really needs to be relegated.
Good point.
A little bit more strictly. And I think this might have been a good pedestrian pit opportunity too. You got somebody fleeing with a weapon, dangerous. You know, if you can safely bump the guy into the ditch, then that's an option too. But I wasn't there. I wasn't
there. Oh, you were there. So here we go. We're going to go into Sergeant George, George's neck of the woods in Hayward, California. So rumble.com, this is Butters the channel. I only got a minute before we take our next commercial break, but Hayward police released a footage of a shootout with an armed man. It's in a shopping center parking lot. So here we go. Hayward, California. This is how they roll. Hayward Police Department on Wednesday releases footage of a shootout between officers and an armed guy that happened last month in a shopping center parking lot. It happened October the 8th. No one was hit by the gunfire. You got to be kidding me. There was so much gunfire. The suspect suffered a minor injury to his thumb. I'm assuming it's when he went down on the ground. And the cops were initially called to the location because there was a report of a guy that was brandishing a gun. And then the footage shows the suspect identified as a 40-year-old unhoused resident, Jamie Mejia Lopez. He pulls a handgun out from his waistband and points at the officers when they arrive. We're going to talk about what happened afterwards in just a second, guys. Stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. We're introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Decision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. You know, since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. And we just left off talking about the Hayward police in California releasing footage of a shootout with an armed man in a shopping center parking lot. And, you know, there's reports of this guy brandishing a gun. Cops roll in, and there's like three cop cars. And, you know, the first one's like this huge black SUV. But the dude knows the gig is up. So immediately, he's talking to another guy in the parking lot in front of a store when he sees the cavalry rolling in. And so he goes up and he ducks behind a car in the parking lot that's sideways to the arriving police cars. And he points the gun at the cops over the hood. Now, there's a shootout that happens after that. And there is a ton of gunfire. And then he crouches behind this parked hatchback. When was the last time they made a hatchback, Chief? I mean, are they going back into like to the 70s or something? I mean, I can't remember what kind of car it was, but it was a hatchback. Crap.
Yeah, at least they shot out a disposable car.
Well, there you go. I'm surprised they didn't say it was like an AMC Pacer or whatever. But anyhow, he's behind a hatchback and he opens fires, and you can see the guy putting his gun up over the top of the car and firing blindly at the cops and stuff. So three officers are also seen firing their service weapons multiple times. I didn't see any long guns as well. And the confrontation ends when the bad guy tosses his gun towards the officers, who then put him in handcuffs. And I'm kind of looking here. We got a bunch of dash cams on this thing, and there's bullets flying everywhere. I was just amazed that no one got hit, and the only injury was to his thumb, probably, you know, when he jumped on the ground when they started unloading on him, you know. But the guys also, you can hear these guys, you know, getting out of the fatal funnel, getting out of this death trap. They're like a bunch of guys in this SUV, which you don't want to be when you're taking incoming fire, right? So they kind of get out using cover. But I did see in the video another vehicle that pulled up. Cop had cover behind a police vehicle, and then he leaves the cover and runs like around the parking lot in a shootout with a bad guy. And I'm thinking, I see it happen so often. Why do we leave cover, you know, and expose ourselves, especially after we just cover a story where we had a cop get a head, you know, take a headshot, you know, while he was supposedly behind protection? So, Chief.
Well, let me talk a little bit about convenience stores. If you're an officer and you've got a convenience store in your district, you need to know that place in and out. And I know several of the stories that we've covered involve convenience stores. I mean, not just the ones that are 3 o'clock in the morning, but you really need to know your layout there. And secondly, if you're a cop and just stopping in for a fountain drink or something, maybe getting your free coffee, which you shouldn't, you know, I've been more than one officer. In fact, a friend of mine was killed stopping to get a Slurpee, and not killed. He was really seriously injured by our robber that came in and just kind of happened to stumble over him. And as far as civilians, if you're a civilian going into a 7-Eleven or a Quick Trip or Come and Go or what have you got in your region, keep your head on a swivel. I mean, that's just a place where stuff goes down. So I'll just put that out there. The other thing, you know, with all the rounds that were fired, I've talked about this before, and I can't get a whole lot of people to agree with me because it's more of a military concept, this idea of suppressive fire. Now, we know that of all the shots fired by how many other officers, this guy was never hit. But he was behind a car, and so bullets went into the car. There's some function to shooting at somebody to keep them down, to keep them behind cover, to keep them from reacting, or to provide some action. You know, we kind of say sometimes, and I've seen this on some videos, some body cams, where an officer will say, "Cover me," because they're going to approach. And what does that mean to the officer that's doing the covering? That may mean I'm going to put a shot every once in a while, watching my ammo count. I'm going to put a shot down range every once in a while just to keep this guy's head down so that you can approach him. So I'm not super critical that they didn't manage to hit this knucklehead. And there might have been some concern, you know, if you watch the video, see there's a civilian in the background. And I'm always amazed how civilians don't realize this is not a movie. And this guy did. He got out of the way, so he got out of the background. And I share your concern about the way maybe at least one of the officers approached, because now I know you've got the bad guy behind the car, and so you don't really know what he's up to if you're going up and the car is between you and the bad guy. So it was good to have another officer with the perspective to see what the bad guy was doing. But there was a crossfire situation with all that lead flying. And so I'm always concerned about that when you have multiple officers
in a
on
store.
The scene. Yeah. But, you know, happy ending. The guy eventually got some sense about him and tossed the gun, and he was arrested. I know the officers, looks like most of the officers were plainclothes, looked like they were detectives. And you know, Chip, how detectives forget how to do real police work. So maybe that was the problem. I don't know.
All right. Well, good commentary. Thanks, Chief. Exciting stuff going on in California. So if you're ready for the story, then we're going to have to watch the words that we use. Rumble.com. This is Butter. Now, this is in Alabama, so that's the first flag, right? Alabama women. But a body cam shows the arrest of an Alabama woman wearing a, I can't use the word, it's a male appendage costume at a protest.
See this? How would you explain it to them?
Are you recording?
I am recording. I'm recording right here. I am telling you right now, if my kids had to come by and see this, I would like to hear how you would explain to my children what you're supposed to be.
What a pun is?
I know. I want you.
Don't understand what a pun is?
Let me get another unit over here. I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me why. I'm telling you right now. I am telling you right now.
Sir,
turn over. On your belly. On your belly. On your belly.
So let me just say that. Well, I'm gonna do this fluidly, right? I'm gonna try to go. So we're in Fairhope, Alabama. Newly released body cam footage shows a Fairhope police colonel. So we have a colonel confronting and arresting a 61-year-old grandmother dressed in an inflatable costume during a protest last month. Now, the inflatable costume was a male appendage that had a sack attached to the bottom of it. I'll leave it there. Have you guys imagine what the inflatable appendage was that she's actually inside of? And the footage provided by AL.com by Rena Gamble's legal team captures Fairhope Police Colonel Andrew Babb telling Gamble that her costume would not be tolerated in a town that has values. And here's a quote saying, "I'm not going to sit here and argue with you." Babb says in the video, "If my kids came by here to see this, how would I explain this?" And she responds, "Are you recording?" And the colonel says, "Hey, how would you explain to my children what you were supposed to be? This is a family town. I'm not going to have someone out here dressed like this. It's abusive." He later adds that, "I would hate for her grandkids to see her like this." Now, when he approaches her, he does seem like he's a little worked up because he doesn't even, there's no sound. And then he realizes that he's engaged with her and he hits his body cam and the sound activates. He said that during the arrest that he had told her, because people are saying, "Hey, why are you arresting her? What's the charge?" And he said, "I told her to take it off, you know, and she refused to." I never heard him say that. So maybe he said that at the very beginning. I don't know. But her attorneys filed a 13-page brief seeking dismissal of misdemeanor charges of disorderly conduct and resisting arrest based on the camera footage. And the filing argues that the arrest violated her First Amendment rights as she was engaged in a political protest during the October 18th No Kings demonstration along this Greeno Road. The case is being heard in the Fairhope Municipal Court and stewed doing January the 6th. She also had a sign in her hand too that said it was a sign that said no, and it was the short name. If your name is Richard, there's a shorter version of that name. And so she said no, that short name for the name Richard, and then it said taters. So no dictators, but she separated the last word in the two parts and stuff. And that obviously was pointed towards President Donald Trump. And so her offense, according to the court documents, was wearing a cartoonish appendage costume, male appendage costume, purchased at a Spirit Halloween store in Fairhope. The filing notes that it was the last inflatable male appendage costume available at the seasonal store. So I guess she got lucky and got the last one available. I don't know who's buying these and wearing these because I don't see these around town. And I don't know. Maybe they're on every corner in Colorado. I don't know, Chief. But I know here in Tampa, I don't get to see a lot of these. Thank God. Your thoughts on this one?
Well, besides the entertainment value of the video, the entertainment value of watching you try to dance around and your discomfort was worth the show today, man.
Did you like my description in the email I sent you on how the play by play, how he grabbed her by the appendage and pulled her on the ground? And
Yeah. I blushed when I read that story. And what color was the costume, Chip? Just for our listeners.
I think it was like a flesh color.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty good representation of what you've been referring to. But Fairhope probably should write a check to this grandma as quickly as they can and get beyond this. The officer, bless his heart, I get it. But it is absolutely a First Amendment issue. And just drive on by.
I agree. I disorderly, she's trying to walk away. I didn't see resisting of arrest. Maybe she wasn't giving them her hands, but just watching the back up there and then finally get her while there's inflatable things on her and then the things that are attached to the bottom of it. And they can't, you know, they're just trying to do it. It was crazy. Commercial break, thank God. We'll be right back. All right, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a certified, safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're a chief or a sheriff and you have your own agency, they've got a deal for you. The founder, Dan Kelly, will actually allow you to host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more info. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. And we've been talking about a female wearing a blow-up inflatable male appendage costume to a No Kings protest. And being arrested for disorderly conduct. You know, I would have expected him to try to push the indecent exposure kind of a thing, but I don't know what their statutes are. But even though we have a law here, and I believe it's a statute, I believe it's an ordinance, not a state statute, but a ordinance saying that you can't have a prosthetic or anything that gives the appearance of being, you know, real. It's just like if I'm going to walk around with my something that looks like a male appendage hanging out of my pants, and it's not really it, but it looks like it, I'm gonna be arrested for indecent exposure, and it's gonna stick. But this did not look, you knew what it was, but it didn't look real, you know. So I would say that if she had that on in Tampa, I would not have been able to do anything about it. So.
Well, Chip, size matters, and this costume was about 6 feet, so I don't think anybody was fooled. They knew what it was representing, but I don't think anybody thought, "Oh my gosh, kids, shield your eyes."
It was inflated too, so it had girth, you know. So,
yeah, I think this is a hole that doesn't need to be dug anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, look, let's move on. And hey, hopefully, you know, it's getting to the end of the week here, and hopefully our you know, streamers and people watching the show like Betty Dunn, Arthur Johnson, and all these guys, and Susan Kidd Robinson, welcome to the show. And thank you for your comments about praying for our safety. Hopefully you guys appreciate the humor that the chief and I, you know, bring to the table. You know, we stay up late at night practicing, rehearsing these skits, you know, relentlessly. We go on like no sleep the day before the show. And so, yeah, this is tough. This is tough stuff. I hopefully I didn't screw up on any of my lines today, chief.
No, and you stuck to the edited version of the script, which I appreciate.
All right, so look, we've got about 7 minutes left. So, Chief, I'll let you help me pick out the next one. We've got the rapper that was shot 17 times in the back.
I think that deserves some discussion.
Okay, good. So let's go there. So this is globalordnancenews.com is the source. Autopsy reveals a rapper shot 17 times in the back by an off-duty cop in Georgia. So that Georgia, when I hear these stories, Georgia is the first flag for me because I think of Hennepin County. I think about some liberal woke prosecutors like this guy Johnson, I believe, in Hennepin County when he jammed up the officer that was involved with the dispute at the drive-through. They grabbed the bad guy. He takes a taser off a cop, runs away while pointed at one of the cops, and the other cop shoots him in the back. And then they want to charge the cop, you know, and the cop ended up getting cleared, I believe. But So that's the first flag. Autopsy report has intensified scrutiny surrounding the fatal shooting of a 44-year-old rapper by an off-duty Georgia police officer outside an Atlanta bar that happened last month. Now, Linton B. Green Blackwell, this is our guy that was shot 17 times in the back by Officer Gerald Walker, sparking claims of unjustified force by the victim's friends and family. Now, this incident happened about 11:30 p.m., October the 12th, outside the Five Paces Inn. Atlanta police stated that Officer Walker was working in an extra duty capacity, so he's working off duty, and he responded to a report of a disruptive person when he encounters Blackwell trying to re-enter the bar. So the guy had already been in the bar, was ejected, and now he's trying to come back in, and our cop is basically a paid off-duty guy that's taking over kind of like the bouncer role right now. But according to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, I will say that these guys, these are sharp guys. GBI's got a great reputation. They know their stuff. I know somebody with GBI, ex-former Tampa police. Blackwell began walking away from the officer towards the parking lot, and the officer sees him put an item in the small of his back while he gets in the car. So the officer issues commands regarding a gun before opening fire. Bailey strikes Blackwell, our bad guy. A firearm was recovered at the scene, so he did have a gun. And I'm sure that he was, the officer accurately saw him putting a gun in his car, in his waistband as he's getting into the car to leave. Now, the autopsy findings showed 17 shots in the back of the area and none in the front. And they've led Blackwell's friends and manager, Timothy Coleman, to vehemently question the officer's actions. So here's a quote saying, if he wasn't pointing a gun at you or doing anything, what does that have to do with shooting him in the back 17 times? And Coleman stated, insisting that the victim was not a threat if he was facing away. Coleman is calling for Walker to be charged with a crime. Now, the GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, is the lead investigative agency, which I have no problem with, and they will turn this over or their findings to the Fulton County District Attorney's Office. That's where I have issues. And in case anybody wanted to know who the Fulton DA is, Fannie Willis. Now, and they will ultimately decide whether or not the shooting was justified or criminal charges against Officer Walker or warranted. The investigation is still ongoing. So that's what we have. Chief, I mean, 17 shots, that's a lot in the back, but I can think of plausible reasons of why I would be justified in a shooting like that, but we just don't have a lot of information. What do you think about this one?
No, well, a couple of things. First of all, be careful what you do and what your mission is when you're working off duty if you're an officer. That can, I mean, a whole different level of support and benefits. You know, if you're injured, is that off duty? Is that on duty? You know, who's going to come to your aid? It can really get complicated. And if this guy's mission was to just be present and keep people from, you know, getting crazy, then maybe if the guy was just getting in his car and leaving, that'd be okay. I'm going to call 911 and let my on-duty brothers take care of this. If this cat was headed back into the club to complete some unfinished business that was the origin of the original call, then if this officer stopped him from going back into that club angrily to finish business, with a weapon, then this officer is a hero. He probably saved multiple lives and injuries. If this guy, and I only saw one reference, I perused several articles about this event. I only saw one reference that this guy was maybe going back into the club, because it sounds like from most of the articles that he was getting in his car. And that's much harder justification for shots. And I will also say this, it's not always wrong to shoot somebody in the back. There are a lot of research that you can look at about that. If you're going to use deadly force, it's kind of like prunes, you know, is one enough? Is three or four too many? If you can fire that first shot, then you can fire 17. It doesn't play well in the press. It looks like the officer's out of control. But, you know, there's also research that says it takes as long for the mind to stop pulling the trigger when they realize the threat's over as it is to make a decision to start pulling the trigger. Right. And if you got 17 rounds in your magazine, and this person is still continuing to move, after the first 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shots, then all of those shots can be justified. Again, even though from a PR thing, it looks bad. But of course, the headline is black man shot by cop in the back multiple times. And really, none of those things are relevant. The only thing that's relevant was there an imminent threat and was deadly force justified? And if so, then the officer's good to go. It does get more complicated when you're off duty or working off-site employment. It's really something that cops probably don't think about enough because they're just thinking about get a little extra money for Christmas. But there's a lot of things to worry about.
Yeah, good points, Chief. We just don't have a lot of information. I don't know if the bad guy did something. You know, the cop's giving him commands. Bad guy, I'm sure, knows at this stage that the cop knows that he's got a gun. I don't know if the guy went for the gun and the cop started pulling the trigger. But before, you know, it does take that about a second and a half or so for the brain for you to be able to see and realize what's going on, for the brain to tell the trigger to start pulling the trigger. And then it takes about another second and a half to tell it to stop pulling the trigger, right? So maybe during that time, bad guy's going for his gun, cop starts to pull the trigger, but before he actually fires the first bullet and it reaches the bad guy's in a position now where now his back is to the officer, but he's still moving around and justifying the use of the threat. Or maybe he's got a gun pointed at the officer over his shoulder and the only target, you know, there's so many plausible explanations. Does he know the car that he was getting in? Was there somebody else in the car? Was he worried about a carjacking? Was he getting the passenger side, the driver's side? You know, there's so many questions that I have that are unanswered. I just am not comfortable with Fannie Willis's office being in charge of this investigation. So
body cam would have helped, but he's off duty, so he probably didn't have one.
Yeah, probably. So another fantastic show, Chief Joel Schultz. So thank you so much for being on the show. I also want to mention the Wounded Blue, woundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in a world of hurt. And also, guys, our sponsors, please support our sponsors, Gulls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, and Medicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TubeBells.com, and FishOrlandoBass.com. Hey, thanks for the support. We love you guys. We'll be back Monday live, 12 noon Eastern.